Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and, of course, the Holy Spirit. Good morning once again, St. Rick, coming to you on this beautiful Sunday, sharing the greatest news on the planet. We have incredibly good news for you today as we're going to study, are you ready for this? The manifestation of Christ. Why was he manifested? Who is he manifested for? And who is against the manifestation? And how do you discern the difference between the truth and false teachings? There's going to be many of that coming forth today as we get into today's news, which is the good news about Christ, and also some of the false news that's going on out there about Christ, especially some of the teachers that you'll see on TV, radio, those kinds of things, making you feel like you're in a jail cell because you're not quite good enough. With me, I have my good friend from South Carolina. That's St. Albert. Good morning, St. Albert.
Good morning, St. Rick. nice having you again. We're here together again. Boy, there's nothing like having brothers together and confessing the truth of Christ.
Amen, man. I am looking forward to today's news. It's so exciting to know when Jesus loves you so much that it's just amazing how much he loves you. We're going to start off in 1 John here, and we're going to be in 1 John 1, and we're going to go on to verse 9. It says, 1 John 1, 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, wait a minute. There is a division right there. He says that we declare unto you that. So this truth that they've seen and heard, they're going to declare unto this group of people, whomever he's talking to, that they may also have fellowship with us. So currently meaning they do not have fellowship with us, but he's hoping they do have fellowship with us. So they're not of the same group. Therein lies that division right there. Real important. If you miss that, you're going to miss everything else we're talking about. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, meaning theirs is not. So it implies they do not have fellowship with us, and our fellowship, which we have, is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ, meaning they do not have that. Do you see the same thing there, Albert, on that?
Yeah, I see the same thing. And they go back also there from the beginning, which they're trying to tell them who Christ is, that they were there from the beginning, that they heard him and everything. And what they're saying is that you guys are not trusting in this of what we're telling you about hearing him and who he is and why he was manifested in this world.
That's right. And these things we write unto you, why? That your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. So how can we walk in darkness if we say that we have fellowship with him and we don't say we have fellowship with Christ, the Son? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanses us from all sin.
So right there, Rick is telling us that the blood of Christ is the one that cleanses us from all sin. So
that's right.
why would they be changing now to something else, which will come later on? If it's saying that the only thing, in fact, we sing that in church all the time. We sing in church that the only, what cleanses us from our sins is the blood of Christ. That's a hymn that we have in the church.
Right.
But we start adding all the things to the hymn.
That's right. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. At the time, those guys were saying they were without sin outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Hmm. Now, Rick, we talk about there that they had something that they thought that they were being taken care of their sins outside of Jesus Christ. Who could be this people that thought that they not believe in Christ and thought that their sins were actually being cleansed? Who could be this people?
It's the Gnostics.
And where do those Gnostics come from? They came from the Jewish religion. They were talking. They were coming in from the law. Most of the people that were coming in from the law that were being taught wrong by the Pharisees and Sadducees were actually thinking that they were observing everything of the law and that they had no sin.
That's right. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, this is really important as we go forth to the next chapter here, because the next chapter is going to put us in a position to let us know that we have a whole new book of information, that things are going to start changing pretty quick. Right now, he's talking to the unbelievers, to unbelievers in Christ. They do not believe Jesus is the Christ and not accept the blood of Jesus Christ as their, sacrifice for sins. And the Jews did not. They did not accept his sacrifice for sins. They said, no, we are not going to accept that. So with that, let's go on down to the next verse here. So we're going to go on to 1 John again. Whoops, chapter 2, not chapter 3. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, my little children here is really important. If we go to the Greek here, it's going to be from the word technion. And if you look up the technion word in the Greek, you're going to find that it is little babies, little children, very, small little children, right? The diminutive of an infant. So there they are. Okay, so technion is an infant. Why is that important? Because of the message that he's teaching is for them and that group of infants. It's not for, I call them the PhDs or the sons, right? The sons of God. So children, I write these things to you so that you don't sin. But if you do, we have an advocate in the Father, Jesus Christ. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Okay. He says that I know him, and he that says that I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. This is an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we've heard from the beginning. Okay, here's the separation. Up until now, St. Albert, he is writing an old commandment. He's telling you about keep the commandments and you're good. Keep the commandments and you're going to be okay. But we do have a Father who will help us out if we, don't keep the commandments. Now he makes a switch. again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Here's a big mistake in the translations. This is where I want to point this out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. Now, it doesn't say it's passing. It says it's past. And the true light now shines. So if we go to the NIV and go to verse 8, it says, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing. Total mistranslation right there. And the true light is already shining. So they want you to make you believe it's passing away. It's not past. It's passing away. But the true light is shining, but it is not quite gone yet. It's passing. Well, when you go to the original Greek, that word that we read there in verse 8, it says is past. So when we go to that word, new commandment right unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. Strong's G3855. And when you look at that, you go down there to check it out. Depart. It's departed. It's passed away. It's gone along the way. It's totally gone, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not passing. It is past. Mm-hmm. So then it goes on and says, he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness even until now. So it's basically love. Are you loving your brother? You know, if you don't love your brother, then you've got a problem. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven. And these are also the word technion. I'm confident of that. Let me look here just to make sure. Little children, technion. We're back into infants again. So the infants, I write unto you, little infants, because your sins are forgiven. So if that's all where you're at in life, then that kind of tells you where you're at in your spiritual growth, your spiritual walk, because you're just about being forgiven for your sins. So,
and Rick, if this right here fell in the same steps as 1 John 1:9 and 1:8 and all that, then there'll be a contradiction, because in 1 John 8:9 and all that is talking about confessing your sins for forgiveness. And here it says that you have been forgiven. So apparently these people who are teaching that the other one is for believers, they have a contradiction when it comes to the other halves of 1 John.
That's right. You can't have it both ways. Yeah. They're either forgiven or you better confess your sins, you know, right. Here, right?
Right.
All right. So I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. It repeats itself. Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Okay, Let's stop right there. What is the will of God? Have you looked and seen? Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And the will of God is in many places, and it's not what most people think, that the will of God is the law and all that. That's completely, it's not part of this letter about salvation by works. So people are going to be surprised as to what the will of God is. And the will of God is as you're looking at it, Rick, is for all those to come to Christ.
That's right. Let's look here. There's different verses that talk about it. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This is in Jeremiah. First Timothy says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved, as Albert just said, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why we are here at God News Network. First Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How can you give thanks and feel good about it if you constantly believe you're in sin?
Yeah, or that he hasn't finished the work. I mean, how can you thank somebody and say, oh, thank you, you're going to finish the work? You thank him because they have done already something for you, you know? And that's what this is.
Yeah, exactly. In Hebrews it says, now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross daily, and follow me. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously all without fault, and it will be given unto you. He will make your path straight. For it is the will, God's will, that by doing good, you should be silent. You should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. I love that one, because there's a lot of them going on right now. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it earth is in heaven. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk. Don't do stupid stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if you're following Christ, he's going to help you with all of that. Mm-hmm. He's going to help you do that stuff. If you do, you have an advocate there that'll help you through all of that. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Now, here's the one that we've been dealing with. If we confess our sins, he's faithful, just, will forgive us from all unrighteousness. This is for unbelievers. And if you do confess your sins, to get into fellowship with us here at God News Network, with Christ and his Father.
Right.
This is how you do it. You got to confess your sins and get into that.
Right. And Rick, again, we talked about confessing of sins. You know, the word sin, there's so many the words that sin comes up, you know, that the word sin comes from. You know, sin covers a whole multitude of words that are completely different. And depending on where you're looking at it, it tells you, you know, what to do, you know. But this sin that in 1 John 1:9 is really it's a noun, it's a state of sin. And it's kind of funny that people don't realize that 1 John 1:9, the 1 John is the same author of John, the same person. And then John, he writes in 20:31, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And that's exactly what he's saying in 1 John, in the beginning of 1 John. He's talking about people who are not believers in the Messiah. Hmm. And in both places, he says why he's writing this. And the Gospel of John, he's writing this in 20:31, so people will believe that Jesus Christ is a Messiah. And in 1 John, he's writing this so people will believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And then he goes on and talks to the saints to what they should be understanding.
Right. Totally great. Well, and also in John right here, this is one of my favorite areas of John, is John chapter 6. where it says, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me." Here it comes. "That everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life." "And I will raise him up the last day."
And isn't that almost an exact copy of what he writes in 1 John?
Totally.
All this right here is an exact copy just about of what he's writing in 1 John. He's writing for people to believe in Christ. They're in a state of sin if they don't believe in Christ. The law could never take away sins, and that's what the Bible talks about all over the place, in Hebrews and Romans and all that the law could never take sin. And these people think that the law was taking away their sins, and it's not, because self-works do not take away sin. And the spill of the killing of animals from the old covenant did not take away sin either.
So that's
what, yeah, that's what these people are. That's what John is trying to get through these people, to explain to them that all these actions from the old covenant, they're still in the state of sin, because those actions will not take away that state of sin that they had.
That's right. Well, right now we're going to look at something really amazing. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 3. Now, there's a change here. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called," what? "The sons of God." This word here, you remember the words technion in the previous chapter? Mm-hmm. There's a difference here. Let me explain. If you're reading an NIV version, that we should be called the sons of God, you're going to notice in the NIV, in 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 3, they're both called children. That we should be called children of God, it says. And the second verse, chapter 2, says that we're children of God, and just says children. Well, if you don't study back to the Greek, you're going to miss this part. We're not technion in chapter 3 anymore. We are technon. Technon is different. Technon has a whole new meaning. It's a son, a daughter. This is more of an adult son, more of an adult daughter. It's not a technion like an infant. This is totally, completely different, and it's going to be there because infants can't understand what we are about to teach you here on God News Network. So we are going to try to guide you through this, and if you give us, if you just allow us the opportunity to share the greatest news that you're about to ever receive in your life, then hang on, you're about to receive some major, major news. It's going to cause the PhDs and the master degree guys to have a cow. But that's okay, you know, because it is what it is. It's the truth. And we hope that you understand that we're not boasting in our ability to know this information. We're boasting in him, that he loves us so much that he's willing to share this information with you here today so that your life can be set free. Okay? I'm going to ask a few questions as we go through here. And I want you to, you know, just answer those questions amongst yourself. So, the first one is that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. So if the people don't know us and what we're teaching right now, it says right here why. Because that we are the sons of God and the world knows us not. And why is it they don't know us? Because they don't know him. So this is exactly why the enemies come against God News Network, for example, or against you if you know the truth that you're about to know. Beloved, we are the sons of God. Now imagine that. Here we are on radio saying to you, or on podcasting saying to you, we're the sons of God. Those who are legalists are going to be against us. Whoa! You're comparing yourself with Christ. Well, let's move on. "And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him." What? You're comparing yourself with him? Yep. for we shall see him as he is. And every man who has this hope, what hope? That when he appears, we're going to be like him. If we have this hope in him, we purify ourselves, even as he is pure. And every man that has his hope in him purifies himself. I can purify myself, yes, by having hope in him and his return, even as he is pure. Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is transgression of the law. So if it's transgression of the law, my question is this. What was nailed to the cross in Ephesians chapter 2?
It was the law.
It was the law. Chapter 2, verse 13, 14, 15, read it. I ain't got time right now, but transgressing the law is sin, period. But it got nailed to the cross, so what does that mean? Okay, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Who was manifested to take away our sins, St. Albert?
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
How did he take away our sins?
The cross and the resurrection and the death and the burial. And
how can we be guilty of sin if the cross, if the law was nailed to the cross?
Great question, and we're going to find out. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. So right here, was he manifested? Yes. And through that manifestation, do you believe he took away your sins? That's really what this is asking. Because if you don't believe what this statement says, you're not going to get everything else I'm about to teach. Here it comes. And in him is no sin. Whoever abides in him sins not. Whoever sins has not seen him or known him. So if you're asked, do you still sin? And you say, yes, I'm a sinner. You don't see him or known him. Why? Because of the previous verse. He was manifested to take away our sins. And if you still sin, you're saying that this isn't true.
That's correct.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Here's the problem with this one. How do we do righteous? Let me show you. It's in Romans. If we go over to Romans chapter 3, let me go down to 21. Follow me here. But now the righteousness of God without what? The law is manifested, just like Christ, being witnessed even by the law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets witness this new righteousness that's coming. Even the righteousness of God. Now, this righteousness, I don't know about you, St. Albert, but I like the righteousness of God.
Yep.
Which comes how? By faith of Jesus Christ. It's not my faith. It's by faith of Jesus Christ. Well, who's it for? Is it for me? Is it for me? It's unto all and upon all them that believe. So your only thing is to believe to get this righteousness that is done here. So little children, no man deceive you, that he does righteousness is righteous. How do we do righteousness? By believing. Even as he is righteous.
So that means that Jesus Christ was righteous by believing. Not even him was righteous by works of the law. He was righteous by his belief, by his trust in Christ and God.
And God. Father. Amen, brother. He that commits sin is of the devil. Why in the world would he say that you're of the devil? Because here's why. For the devil sins from the beginning. That's why you're of the devil. And for this purpose, what purpose?
To do away with sin and the devil.
To do away with the sin and the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. And what is that? That he might destroy the works of the devil.
Now, let me say something about that, Rick. Most people think that the works of the devil is bad works, you know, doing things bad, but it's not. The works of the devil are actually good works. The devil, from the beginning, his fall from heaven was because of his good works. He thought that he could be as God by his works. That was the three I wills of the devil, that that by his righteousness, self-righteousness, he could become as God. And that right there was the same work that he gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. That was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that by your same works, by your works, that you could become as gods. That was the same thing, which is still working in the church today.
Amen. And that's if you can only stop sinning.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know this is a lot to take in for all of you out there, but really, let's look at this. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. So if you still say you commit sin, that means this implies that you're not born of God. Because if you're born of God, then you know what it means here in verse 5. Ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So we're back down here. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. Why? For his seed remains in him. And ye cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, that whoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, and that love, not his brethren, abides in death.
So, Rick, what was the righteous works that his brother did, and what was the work of darkness that Cain did?
Well, brother, those works were not belief and belief of the Father.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
You have to believe or not believe. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Did you know you can't be into life if you're a sinner? You can't. Because we love the brethren, and he that loves not his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. That's what a murderer is, because you hate your brother. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. This is an amazing revelation. He that commits sin is of the devil, and the devil sins from the beginning. For this is the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now you have to ask yourself this question: did he do it or not? Was he successful or was he not?
And we're reading half of the Bible, Rick. I mean, those people who are saying that we still have sin are saying actually that he wasn't successful.
I don't see it any other way, brother. Yeah. And 1 John 1:9 is so clear that he's talking to people that don't belong in the same crowd as us.
Right.
And then chapter 2 is talking to infants. And chapter 3 is the sons of God. That's why if you don't get this, you're not quite there. You may be an infant, knowing that you're saved if you just believe on Jesus, but you still think you can sin right here. Well, what do you call it when you fill in the blank?
You know, and
I call it a works of the devil that got destroyed. Thanks be to Jesus, and that's not me. My flesh isn't my spirit. My spirit is separated from the flesh right down the middle by Jesus.
And it's funny that they don't see this, and they don't see other parts of the Bible where it says that Jesus has separated us from sin. and that we don't longer have sin. And there's even parts that it says that he threw sin as far as he can from the east to the west in the old covenant. And there's one more that is very, very interesting, because it says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if you're claiming that you have sin, that means that there's still condemnation from Christ in you.
That's right. And it also tells us very clearly in Romans, if we go to Romans chapter 5, verse 13, check this out. This is amazing. I mean, how this gets missed, I have no idea. But Romans chapter 5 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because it really lays it out as a outline of the entire gospel. For until the law was sin, and for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Think about it. If you're a police officer listening to this right now, if there is no law in the books, is there an offense?
Right.
There's not.
Right. It's like calling somebody who has been acquitted from a court of law, telling him that he's still guilty. You know, in other words, let's say that somebody was in a court of law and he was there because somebody claimed that he had murdered somebody, and he goes to the court of law and they say, no, he's not a murderer. He did not do this. He was found not guilty from the murder charge, and he comes out of there. What would happen if the news media or somebody outside comes to him and tells him, you are a murderer, you just killed that person? That's slander. That is slander, because that person is not guilty of that. So when you're blaming that person of something that he's not, you're slandering that person. And that could be very dangerous. Here, you could be sued for slander. And it could be very dangerous with God too, because he doesn't take kind for what he has done already and for you to call him something else. He doesn't take kind for you to say that something, when he says that something is clean, and for you to say that is dirty. He doesn't take that good at all, let me tell you.
Well, even more so, imagine you and you have your child, and you know that you're going to sacrifice your own child so that the rest of the children can live. Hmm. And then one of the children look at you and say, that's not good enough. Hmm. Can you imagine what that does to our Father? When that child was the only way you could survive, through Christ was the only way, and now you're saying it's not good enough. I still have to do X, Y, or Z. Even though I have accepted Jesus, I know that I still have to confess my sins. And what happened to it? Where there is no sin, there is no law. We just read that. We also said that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh, even the law of commandments and ordinances. It's abolished. And if you look up the word abolished right here, it's so, so amazing. We look up the word abolished in the Strong's, and we go down here. It's catargio or catargeo, or however you pronounce it. And it says right here that to be rendered entirely idle, useless, literally, figuratively, abolish, cease, cumber, deliver, destroy, do away, become, of no avail or effect, fail, loose, bring, to naught, put away, vanish, to make void. I don't know how else to put it any stronger. That word is abolished. The law has been abolished. So the only way you can sin is if there is a law. The law has been abolished. And in Colossians, it says it's been nailed to the cross in chapter 2. Therefore, you literally have to spit in the face of God and tell him he's wrong to believe anything other than you are now made sinless by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're now made sinless by the cross, by the death, the burial, and resurrection of his Son.
You see, when they say that we sin, or that we're in a state of sin, what they're actually saying is that the law wasn't abolished. They don't realize that, but that's what they're actually saying. Mm-hmm. And if the law has not been abolished, that means that Jesus Christ did not come and accomplish what he should have accomplished.
That's right, man. You got it. You have it. very clear. You know, God loves us with all of his heart. He cares about you with all of his heart. So much so that as you now realize, it's like your whole life you've been sitting in a prison cell and the doors have been closed with no way out. And walks in this kind, gentle, peaceful, loving God of the universe who opens the door and says, my son died on the cross so that the cell door now has been opened and freed you from the cell. But yet many of you are sitting in the cell saying, I'm not worthy, I'm still here. If you're in the cell, you can't share this freedom of good news with those around you. You cannot share this good news with someone else who's in a cell. God made you for a very special purpose so that you can get out of the cell, so that you can take the message of the cross to those who are around you where God planted you in your part of the world. If you haven't accepted Christ, you're still sitting in the cell and the door's closed. Today, if you want to open the door, we ask that you repeat after us. Father, I confess to you I am a sinner. I believe upon your Son, the gift, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You are now reborn in the name of Jesus Christ. If you've accepted his Son, say, I believe and I receive in the name of Jesus. And therefore, now you are a son and daughter of God. The door has been busted open, and you get to leave that cell now. And all the deeds of the flesh are done. They're behind you. You may still make a mistake, Technion, but we have an advocate who is always in front, who's always taking care of it on our behalf. Thank you for tuning in to God News Network. Thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing this news with everybody on the planet. Take this God news, not the world news, but God news, and share it with everyone. And we want you to remember how much you are loved in the name of Jesus Christ, and how much you are cared for by him, and how much the saints are rising.